So if you've got your Bibles this morning, 1 Kings chapter number 8, I'm going to try to bring you a message today on the subject, something called it heaven, but I want to call it home. Amen? I tell you what, I just tell you this in passing. I was a young preacher, and I used to say, God, I just don't have a heart for heaven. I just don't have anybody close enough that's been gone from this earth, and I just didn't have a heart. I never preached much on heaven. When I was a young preacher, I preached more, I guess, on the judgment of God and hell. And I was a hard preacher, and God did something. He tendered my heart and squeezed it, and praise God, the juice fled out my eyes. Amen. But I'm glad this morning that God's given me a place in my heart for heaven. And I guess I preach more on that than any other subject. You may, if you've been around any while, you may say, preacher, you preach a lot on heaven. I want to tell you something. It's real. Amen? It's a real place. And I want to tell you something. As the older I get and the longer that I have served him, heaven gets sweeter. Amen? I want to tell you something. A lot of folk today, I think that they don't have a place in their heart for heaven because they're too earthly minded. You got too many ties down here. I got news for you. It wouldn't matter to me if I didn't go back to 957 County Line Road. Amen? Because that's not my home. You say, but you were born and reared in Reedsville. Yeah, I was, but that's not my home. My home is in heaven. I'm just passing through this old world, and what you see is just a tabernacle. It's not the real me. Praise God, the real me is about 6'3" and 200 pounds and good looking. Amen? What you see is just an old tabernacle. It's just a body that I'm using. Have you ever walked by somebody that's passed out of this world, and especially at the moment of death, you can see just the life ebbing out of their body. And you can say that's just a shell that's left behind. That person is going to be with God. What a blessing that is. Amen? If you ever have a loved one, and some of you haven't faced it yet, but you will, and you'll come to that point, you'll say, when you stand beside that bedside, and that loved one is taken away from you in death, and you've said your last goodbyes, and you've kissed them on the cheek, and you've said, I'll see you on the other side. There's a comfort in knowing that they're in the presence of God. And it's comforting to know that if you're saved, we're going to that place one day. Amen? A place that a lot of folk don't understand. They just don't comprehend a place where there isn't any sickness and sorrow, no pain, no misunderstandings, no arguments, nothing to hurt or defile. There isn't any sin. There isn't any devil. There isn't anything that can destroy on the other side. And I'm looking for that day. And I don't believe it's going to be long before the Lord comes back. Amen? Calls us home. And I hope you're saved this morning. In 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 27. Stand with me if you would please for just a moment. We'll read two verses of scripture, and I'll let you be seated. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I've builded? Look at verse 30 of the same chapter, just a couple of verses down. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and to thy people Israel, when shall pray toward this place, and hear thou the heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Now in verse 30, look what he says in the last part of the verse. Heaven thy dwelling place. Heaven thy dwelling place. And brother, I want to tell you something. Some may call it heaven, but I do want to call it home. That's where I'm going. I hope you're going there too. If you are, say amen. What a blessing it is to know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And for those that's already passed from this veil of sorrow into the next, they're at home today. So let's pray, if you would. Father, thank you today for the touch of God that we felt in the singing. And Lord, it's a divine orchestration of God that we're here today. Father, it's not by accident that the songs that were picked out were songs that you'd want us to sing about that celestial city of God. And Father, I pray in the little while we have together, truly may our heart be stirred for the things of God. Lord, help us to realize that our citizenship is in heaven, and that truly this world is not my home. We're only a passing through. And Father, bless us now as we try to preach your precious word. Use the message to be an encouragement and a help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And keep your Bible open there to 1 Kings chapter 8. Now here you find that the Bible said that our dwelling is in heaven. And friend, what a blessing that is. Recently I spoke to a group of, I say, senior citizens over at the church I used to be an associate pastor at. We opened up that morning and the little song leader came and they said, take your song sheet there and here's the song that we sang. It goes this way. This world is not my home. I'm only just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. And then he says, the saints in glory in land are shouting victory. I want to join their band and live eternally. I hear the sweetest praise from heaven's open door. And I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. Friend, if you're saved today and you're on your way to heaven, on your way to glory, you can say with a surety, this world is not my home. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim down here. This world is not the place of my eternal dwelling. I'm only down here for a short time. And thank God when this old feeble body has ended its journey and when I preach my last message and pray my last prayer and when I've done all that God wants me to do, then I'm going to go home to heaven. If you're saved, then you can say for a surety, I'm going there too. Beloved, listen, this morning I want to just talk to you just a little bit about that place of our home. Now I want to give you just a few brief things about heaven this morning in the time we've got together. Now you know that the heaven, the Bible describes there are three heavens. I like what Brother Mays used to say. There are three heavens. The first one is the air that you breathe. And thank God for that. The air is around us. That's the first heaven. And beloved, in the first heaven is where airplanes can fly. But then the second heaven is a stellar heaven. That's the stars of heaven. You look out on a starlit night and you can see the beauty. It's like diamonds flung across a black velvet. Someone told us yesterday that last night there's supposed to be a meteor shower. I didn't stay up and watch it. It was supposed to be after midnight. I didn't see it. But they said that it's supposed to have been a beautiful meteor shower last night. Beloved, in the second heaven is where spaceships can fly. But then there's the third heaven. And the third heaven is a dwelling place of God. Now, friend, listen, you can go in that first heaven in an airplane. You can go in the second heaven with a spaceship, but it takes the blood of Jesus to go to the third heaven. Amen? It's going to take the blood of the Lord Jesus if you're going to get there. In the Word of God, it's called paradise. It's called the place where the saints of God are waiting for that new body. Now, where is heaven? How do you get there? I want to give you a few thoughts about heaven in the time we've got. First of all, you realize that the Bible says there's windows in heaven. I don't understand it all, but the Bible said their windows are open to pour out the blessings of God. In the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the writer said, pray that the windows of heaven be open, that God would pour us out a blessing that we couldn't contain it. I don't know about you, but I like to get under that place where God's blessing. Amen. I like to be in a church where God's blessing. Say amen. I want to come into a church that you feel something. Amen. If I want to go to someplace dead, I'll go to the mortuary. Say amen. When I come to the house of God, I want to walk in and feel the presence of an almighty God in that place. Amen. And if I can't feel it there, friend, you ought to find you another church. Say amen right there. I believe when you walk in the house of God, you ought to feel the presence of the Lord and feel the fellowship of the saints of God and enjoy the blessings of the Lord and feel something. I don't know about you, but I felt something this morning when we were singing. Amen. I know some of you did. Some of you lifted a hand and you said, praise God, I feel the presence of an unseen hand. Oh, but you say, preacher, I didn't feel anything. Brother, it's not God's fault. Say amen. You need to pull on up where the glory runs out. Get under that spout and say, God, open up the windows of heaven and bestow out a blessing upon me. But the Bible said there's windows of heaven. Then second of all, the Bible said there's a door to heaven. John said in the book of Revelation, he said, and I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. Oh, listen, beloved, the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. Aren't you glad today that if God saved you by his wonderful, marvelous, matchless grace, you come to heaven through the door of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad today to tell you it's not through some priest, it's not through some pope, it's not through some preacher, but it's through the door of heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. If you don't come Jesus' way, you don't get in. Say amen. You might say, well, preacher, what about all these Muslims and all these Hindus and all these other crowd and these Mormons and everybody else? Beloved, if they don't come through Jesus, they don't go to heaven. You believe that? Say amen. There's only one door. It's not many doors. There's one door. And the door is the Lord Jesus. But then John said, when I walked through, and he said, when that door was open in heaven, and John said, I was called up to see the things of God. He said, the thing I saw was the throne of God. What a blessing that is. God's throne. And he said, he was on the throne. Aren't you glad God's on the throne this morning? Say amen. There's nothing that takes God by surprise. You might say, preacher, I've had an accident to happen in my life. I've lost money. I've had a car wreck. Listen, beloved, there are no accidents with God. He's on the throne today. You might go to the doctor and you say, I've got something wrong with me. Listen, friend, I've got news for you. God's still on the throne. He had moved off the throne. And John said, I saw him. And he said, it looked like a jasper, a sardine stone, or an emerald. It's hard for us to visualize what that would look like. But I want to take some of you back when you went to Washington, D.C., and some of you went there to the Smithsonian Institution, and you walked in and you saw the Hope Diamond. Some of you remember that. It was that big old diamond, and it's behind glass, and those security guards wouldn't let you near that because, friend, listen, that's a precious gem. I got news for you, honey. That's nothing but dirt when it's compared to God. Amen. Oh, the glory of God. He said it was so brilliant. It was like an emerald. It glistened. And that, my friend, is a blessing. But then here, he says, behind the throne of God, he said, there's a rainbow. Oh, a rainbow. You say, preacher, what about that rainbow? That rainbow, friend, speaks of the covenant that God said with man. He said, one time I'll destroy the world through water. But he said, when you see the rainbow, I'll not destroy it again through water. And behind the throne of God was a rainbow. He said there were 24 elders clothed with glistening white garments, pure gold crowns on their head, and they were seated on 24 seats. He said there was thunders and lightning, and he said out of the throne you could hear the voices. Then he said there were seven lamps of fire that was burning before the throne of God. And John said, I saw when heaven was opened up, he said there was a tree of life, the same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, that tree of life in which Adam and Eve, the Bible said they were driven from the Garden of Eden, and God placed an angel there with a flaming sword to keep them from entering the garden again. You say, preacher, why did God do such a thing? I'll tell you why. When man and woman sinned and brought sin into this world, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And God did something out of his mercy and out of his grace. He said, Adam and Eve, you'll not eat of the tree of the fruit of life. Don't you eat of that. He said, because if you were to eat of that, having sin in your world. He said you'd always be a sinner. There'd be no hope, no mercy, no love. Oh, but God said in mercy, I'll put an angel there and keep you from eating of the tree of life. But that tree of life that was in the garden will be in heaven. And friend, I don't know about you, but the Bible said it grew 12 different kinds of fruit. And he said the leaves were for the healing of the nations. I don't know about you, but America needs some healing. Say amen. America, my friend, needs healing. I was talking with a preacher friend of mine when I was over and preached at that senior citizen meeting. He told me, he said, you know, Frank, he said, a friend of, he said, we went up to Indiana to a Bible conference. He's on the board of a Bible college up yonder. And he said, we were in the airport. And he said, the fellow that was with me, he said he had some tracks in his pocket. And he said, as we were standing there, he reached in his pocket and pulled out a track and handed it to a lady and said, here's something, ma'am, you can read while you're on the airplane. He said, that woman backed up and she said, sir, how dare you invade my personal space? How dare you offer me something of religious nature to read? She was insulted beyond measure. Friend, it's a sad day in our country when you can't hand out a gospel tract. When you can't pray for somebody, when you can't uplift the name of Jesus in our schools, our nation needs healing today. But then also here in the Word of God, you say, preacher, what else is in heaven? There is the river of life. The river of life. Friend, I don't know about you, where there's a river, there's got to be some fish. Say amen. Listen, friend, what good's a river if you ain't got something to go fishing with? Hallelujah. But he said a river of life that proceeded out from the throne of God, pure water. Beloved, I want to tell you something. We were talking about it on the way down here. You look at the lakes. You look at the ponds. Beloved, I want to tell you something. I believe God may just be getting ready to do something special. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You know what the Bible talks about in the days of the tribulation. He talks about that the sun would scorch men with a great heat. I want to tell you something. I believe God's getting ready to come back. Say amen. And he's just getting this old nation prepared. He's starting to dry her up. And listen, beloved, people hadn't called on the name of the Lord in a long time, but when they start not having something to drink except dust, they'll fall on their faces before God. They'll cry out to the Lord. And let me tell you something, as a child of God, as a Christian, we ought to also pray. And the Bible said that he'll rain upon the just and the unjust. Amen. God may send a little old shower over your way and meet your need and water your grass and give you something to drink. And that old God denier infidel down the road, he may have dust to drink. Say amen. But here's a river of life. The Bible said here it was pure, clear as crystal. But then let's move on. He talks about the 12 gates of pearl. Time remaining won't permit me to go into all the details. But now notice here what I want to tell you about. Stephen, he was saw a glimpse of glory. That day that Stephen was stoned and looked up, he said, I see heaven open. And he said, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. Wouldn't you like to have a welcome like that when the saints of God, all of a sudden, when we enter to the presence of the Lord, wouldn't you like to have a standing ovation like old Stephen did? But Stephen got a glimpse of glory. Paul the Apostle got a glimpse of glory on the Damascus Road. That vision of light was so bright that he said it was just so bright. He told Herod, he said, oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He went on to say, as Paul, he said, one time I was caught up into the third heaven and I saw things I couldn't repeat. I saw things that he said, oh, I would not be able to talk about for 14 years. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said, I have not seen or entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I believe God looks down from heaven today. How many of you believe that? Say amen. I believe God sees the things that we see. I believe he looks down from heaven. The Bible said in Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. I'm reminded in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall among themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Some people disagree with me. You may disagree. That's all right if you won't be wrong. Amen. But there's some people in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible said that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now some people will disagree with this. But I believe the saints of God can look upon this church service today. You believe that? Say amen. I believe that. I don't believe they can see everything. I don't believe heaven would be heaven if they could see all the sin. I believe one thing, beloved. I believe the saints of God can peer over the battlements of heaven and look upon the things down here. And I don't know about you, but I believe every now and then they'll just give a shout. Amen. When they see somebody get saved, the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Well, let some little old boy, a little old girl come down to this altar and get saved. And I believe heaven shouts and praises God over one sinner that repenteth. Now I believe this morning the saints of God can look down upon this world and see the things that's going on. All the good things, the blessings of the Lord. Now, let me give you something here. In the time we got, and time just about gone, I'm going to give you four things. Write them down in your Bible. You can go back. What is heaven like? What is heaven like? What will go on in heaven? Number one, write them down. If you got a pen and paper, there's a review. They all start with the letter R. There's a review. The first thing, when you and I get to heaven, there'll be a review. My sister and I were talking about this yesterday afternoon. The first thing, beloved, the Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Brother, there's going to be a review. When we're called into glory, God's going to pull the records and he's going to review the things that we've done, not our sins. But hear me out. He'll review the things we've done since we've been saved. And the Bible said that our works will be tried by fire. If any man's works abide, gold and silver and precious stone, he shall receive a reward. But if they are wood, hay, and stubble, they'll be burned up. Let me tell you real quick what I believe that means. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. When we look across this group this morning, I can't look in your heart, but God can. And God sees the motives why you do certain things. Why you sing in the choir, teach a Sunday school class. Why you witness and tell other people about Christ. Why you do the things you do. God sees the motives. And I believe we'll give an account to God for the things we've done since we've been saved. And there will be a review. But then number two, get them down, there will be the records. I believe heaven's a place of records. Oh, you go down yonder to the courthouse. You go. We were in Floyd, Virginia yesterday. Glory to God. Amen. Way up in the hills. And we stopped, rounded the corner, and there was the Floyd County Courthouse. And I told someone, I said, we're in the county seat of Floyd, Virginia. If you don't know where Floyd, Virginia is, friend, I got news for you. It's on the backside of nowhere. Say amen. It's hard to get there. We was in the court. We rounded the corner, and there's the courthouse, the county seat. I don't know what it is here. Is Ashburn the county seat of Randolph County? You go over to Reedsville, it's Wentworth. And over in Wentworth, if you were to go to Wentworth, you'd pull the records. And you'd say, I want to see the births of 1955. You scroll down through the pages, and you'd come to July the 27th, 1955. And they'd have a star sitting right there. Amen. They'd have it highlighted, and they said, that's a red letter day. Amen. You say, what's that? That's my birthday. July the 27th, 1955. And Troy and Mary Thacker had a little boy. I won't tell you what his name was. Yeah. And they named him after his daddy, Troy Franklin Jr. And Annie Penn Hospital. My name is written in the record books of the county seat. You say, preacher, what do you know about that? I know that proves one thing, that I was born. Amen. I was born the first time. Brother, if you went to the record books of heaven, and if you scrolled down and you looked down in 1967, you'd find my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother, I want to ask you something. Is your name there? Do you know the day that you were saved? Say, preacher, I can't remember the day I was saved. God can do that, but is your name ever inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life? I believe this. I believe there's the Lamb's, there's the Book of Life, and then there's the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe the Book of Life inscribes everybody that's ever been born. But the Lamb's Book of Life inscribes the people that's been saved. And I believe, beloved, that one day, when everyone in this world stands before God, I believe God's going to pull the record book. And for the sinner that doesn't know Christ, he'll stand before God. And I believe that God will say to the angel, look his name up. And the angel will say his name is in the Book of Life, but there's no record of his birth the second time. And God will say, combine him hand and foot and cast him in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, I want to let you know there was a new name written down in glory. Amen. 40 years ago. And thank God. God's pen doesn't have an eraser on it. Listen, once it's there forever. Amen. And then number three. Let me give this to you. Number three, there's the rewards. Heaven's a place of rewards. Jesus said that in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Some people say, I don't care about having anything when I get to heaven. Well, brother, I want to tell you something. For as much as God's done for me, I want to have something that I can lay back at his feet. Amen. He loved me and went to Calvary for me. Is it not enough just to say, Lord, I want to have a little something to lay back at your feet, just to say thank you for all that you've done? I'll never be able to repay him, but at least I'll have something to cast my crown at his feet, to lay my reward, what little bit I may have, and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving a sinner like me. The Bible said that there is a place of reward. And then last of all, it's a place of rejoicing. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest joy when a person comes is rejoicing. The saints of God rejoice in the presence of the Lord. And surely there's a shout of joy every time when they're a redeemed soul is saved. And I said four, I want to give you five, and I'm done. The last one there is a reunion. Let me give you that, and we're done. David said in 2 Samuel 12:23, they came into David, and David had a little baby that was born to Bathsheba, born in sin. When they come in, and David, they went to him, the king of Israel, and they said, David, I've got some bad news for you. David, the baby died. That little one that was born to Bathsheba died. And David said, I can't bring him back. But he said this, and listen to this statement. He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David said, I can't bring him back from the grave. I can't breathe life back into that lifeless body. One thing I can do, I can go where he is. And friend, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for that time. That there's a reunion of the saints of God. Friends and loved ones will be there to greet us. Friends and loved ones of all the ages, the saints of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. Amen. I want to see some of those loved ones I hadn't seen in a good while. I want to be able to sit down and talk with them again. Some of you sit here today. My dad used to call me about every evening. There for a long time, he'd call me. And we talked just briefly on the phone just about every day. But then the day came that Dad didn't call anymore. And I want to tell you something. Sometime I wish I could hear his voice again. You play a tape. You see his face. And you say, oh, I wish I could just talk to him again. Brother, I want to tell you something. There's coming a day when you'll be able to sit down with your loved ones. You'll be able to see mom and dad, sisters and brothers, children, friends and loved ones. And thank God for the promise. I want to tell you something. A man may go to heaven without health. He may go to heaven without wealth. May go to heaven without fame. May go to heaven without name. He may go to heaven without learning. He may go to heaven without earnings. He may go to heaven without culture or beauty or without friends or without a thousand other things. But he cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. Do you know him today as your personal Savior?